Hi, this is Mike Maduda, and you're listening to the ZFM Sports Podcast.
ZFM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise. Argentina!
Time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interviews.
She's on happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it was Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport. It's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to it. It is your favorite show on radio. It is ZFM Sport, and the team is here. Mike, my daughter, Chris Meadzi. Our producer is Sean Tafirinyika. My name is Barry Manandi. On the home front today, Herentals Queens have missed out on a spot in the CAF Women's Champions League despite winning 4-2 against the Comores. Olympic Di Moroni in a COSAFA qualifier in Johannesburg this afternoon.
In international sports news, Keegan Bradley's Ryder Cup role will remain as captain after leaving himself out of his six picks to complete the team's USA's lineup for the Bethpage Black. In Around the World in 60, we have updates from New Zealand, India, Mexico, and the United States.
Don't forget, we'd love to keep it interactive on the show. The Fan Zone is going to be coming up straight after our play of the day, where you can get in touch with us on 0772-168-045 with your comments as well as your opinions on the stories that we're carrying on tonight's edition of your favorite sports show. And then it'll be the beautiful game, and we'll kick off at Chan, where Morocco reached the final after overcoming holders Senegal 4-3 after a penalty shootout. In Europe, Chelsea are evaluating the possibility of a move for Barcelona midfielder Fermin Lopez. Plus, we'll have more transfer news from Spain, Italy, and Germany.
How is it, guys? Elvis Tibola Opomba Moyo, WPF.
This is the bomb.
All Africa heavyweight champion two-time. You are listening to ZFM Sport.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Let's start with that news that Herentals Queens have missed out on a spot in the CAF Women's Champions League despite a 4-2 win against Comores Olympic Di Moroni in the COSAFA qualifier in Johannesburg this afternoon. The Zimbabwean champions needed to secure a decisive victory, winning by at least a 5-goal margin to advance as the best-placed runners-up. They managed to score 4, Chris, one short, but also conceded 2, which is really their Achilles heel in this tournament. Conceded way too much.
Definitely unfortunate. I think just in terms of quality, we're seeing a lot of the other countries increase that quality that we see in the women's game. And I think Zimbabwe is a little bit lagging behind. I think just from a performance perspective, we have been outdone in this competition. And this is evidence of that, especially the way in which we conceded goals.
Mike, we have seen new leadership move in at the Women's Premier Soccer League. And the hope is that they are learnings that are being applied. I know that the leadership can't apply themselves at club level, but I think the level at which women's football is, it's got to be a united effort to try and get our game up to a decent level. Nations are moving forward.
Yeah, nations are moving forward. One of the key challenges for the Zimbabwe Women's Premier Soccer League is facilities.
Yeah.
It is the stadiums, or if you can call them that, the surfaces on which the football is being played.
Yeah, better word.
And we're never going to improve our football if we're not playing on the right sort of surfaces. Right. Elsewhere, there is an emphasis on making sure that training grounds are improved. There's an emphasis on making sure that the fields on which teams compete on are of the highest caliber. And so it's very difficult to develop a smooth passing game when the surfaces that you train on and play on don't allow for that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're also beginning to see similar challenges again in our Premier Soccer League on the men's side,
yep.
Especially with the deterioration of Rufaro, where so many matches are being played. We saw the condition of Sakuva. It's not really that great.
It's not great.
And we've seen other surfaces nationwide as well, where playing a nice passing game, smooth flowing football, methodical build-ups are just not going to be possible because of the surface that you are playing on. So we need to start investing in better facilities for our women's football, and then we also need to make sure that we are getting more and more girls playing the sport. Yeah. I love the fact now that just last week I was hearing that Chizzy had just come from a tour out in Europe.
Oh, wow.
One of the football teams was out in... in Europe. I think they'd gone off to Switzerland.
Mm.
Those are the stories that we need to start hearing, that girls are playing the sport and taking it seriously. It's more than just a pastime, but if we get more and more girls playing and we invest in that way, because the trust schools, whether we like it or not, have got the capacity to actually build the sort of athletes that we're looking for as far as the sport is concerned. And someone might say, hey, it's elitist.
No.
But that's the reality.
No, no.
When it comes to building an elite athlete who is training correctly, who is the facilities to train in, the gym, who has got a coach, highly trained coach, highly qualified coach who's possibly being paid well, nutrition, which is a huge thing.
Massive.
Especially in your formative years when you are growing between the ages of, let's say, 8 until 18. Those schools have got more of a chance.
Yeah.
And when we start doing that, then the association can at least concentrate on the more disenfranchised schools and begin to support them as far as training is concerned, as far as coaching is concerned, as far as facilities is concerned, and even as far as nutrition is concerned as well.
100%. And you make a fine point. And the missing out on the Champions League, and this is the second time running, second year running, where Herentals Queens hasn't made it to go into the competition proper. You got to think to yourself that something's got to give. Where Ian, Mike is talking about beginning to make the investment lower down so that we can reap the dividend at the top. And making that investment lower down has got to start now, or else we're going to be left so far behind, because we missed an opportunity that time when the Mighty Warriors went to the Olympics.
Absolutely.
Fell asleep, and here we are. We need to wake up now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a sad situation. I think what we see on the men's side is almost multiplied on the women's game.
Yes.
So what we see in terms of surfaces, what we see in terms of those selection structures, what we see in terms of the pyramid, everything, you just multiply that, and that's what we get in the women's game. It's really unfortunate. And I think what Mike brings up is a really good point, that we need to tap into the school system. I think around the time we were in high school, they were getting all the schools to now play football. I'm not sure what kind of a campaign it was, but it was football and it was rugby, and all girls' schools now had to have a team that was playing. There wasn't a particular league at the time, but I believe now there are leagues in which girls are playing football. And those are the systems, I think, that need to be tapped into and developed better. And that university system as well, to ensure that we've got consistent play and that it is a realistic proposition that someone can have a career in football. Mm. The economics comes into play, definitely. Yeah. But I think we've got to start being a lot more intentional about the channeling of athletes from primary school, high school, into the club scene in local football.
100%. And you make a fine point in terms of that mass participation at the right level. Mike, is it coincidence that Herentals Queens, the defending champions, have gone and represented us twice? And this is a school team, let's call it what it is, which has structures where girls are playing football.
Structures and numbers.
Structures and numbers.
Yeah, so that's what they have.
guys, copy, paste.
Yeah, absolutely. So they've got the structure, they've got the numbers, and they obviously feed off that. Yeah. And kudos to them. And this is no criticism on Hair Rentals, by the way.
No, because they
can only beat what's put in front of them.
Certainly.
And they are actually one of the more credible development stories in the nation.
Yes.
But we want to see more.
Yeah.
And we want to see more teams like Hair Rentals, teams that are as organized, teams that have the level of investment that Hair Rentals has, and that way we will start getting a very competitive league. Okay, and I'll take it to the men's game. The tragedy for the men's game, Barry, this year and last year, is that yes, we have applauded the money that's come into the game.
Yeah.
The likes of Scotland, the likes of Simbabora, they've brought in the likes of the platinum teams over the last decade have brought in money. Manica Diamonds, Chicken Inn have been a relatively stable team since the time they got into the league, even winning a league championship, as have Ngesi Platinum Stars. Scotland gunning for a title. Simbabora won it last year. That is great for Zimbabwe football. But do you know what would have been greater and made our football even better?
Even better.
If the traditional teams had also been in rude health.
Yes. Yeah.
Meaning
yeah.
that we would have had a league with not just three or four teams able to have a dust off at the top, but would have had a league with 10 strong teams.
Yeah.
All capable of jostling for position and possibly six or seven of them going for the title, having genuine title aspirations. Our football would have been the better for it. That's what we need to see in the women's game, where it's not just one or two teams with a realistic prospect of winning the league. It has to be four or five teams, and that way even the likes of Hair Rentals will have to up their games.
Yeah.
If they're going to carry on appearing in this competition.
Yeah, I'm going to jump onto my old bugbear, which is that I think in Zim we have too many corporates, and this is no slight on our corporates. We have too many corporates that have teams rather than corporates that are sponsoring football teams.
True.
So we love that Zimplats is in our football, but we would have preferred if Zimplats
sponsoring
Dynamos would have been
our football would have been stronger.
No, our football would have
and
been stronger.
And they should have been having the social team for their for
the
and ETC at the mine.
Yeah.
Because what happens if all the moneyed institutions are owning
just
teams?
Having their own teams? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Where's the sponsorship going to come from?
Where's the sponsorship going to come from for the other teams?
That's a very good point.
100%. Well, the great thing is that before this game, the Hair Rentals Queens had a phenomenal morale booster with the arrival of club president and, of course, first team player Innocent Benza. He arrived in South Africa, and then a donation from South African-based Zoro Pumlani, which provided goodies worth 15,000 rand. That was.
I was going to say, imagine if Delta Beverages, someone at Delta Beverages say, you know what? We're having a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the women's game.
No, not even in the women's game.
Just
we're going to have a team.
Yeah.
So we're not going to sponsor the league anymore.
We're not going to sponsor the league. We're going to have a team.
We're not going to have the Chibuku Super Cup. We are going to have a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taffer.
Yeah, the Delta Bombers. Boom. There they go.
We are dead in the water, guys.
We're dead in the water because all of a sudden now the league has got no sponsor.
Yeah.
The league has got no cup competition. And it's chaos.
What it would do.
And they have the capacity
to have
a team.
It would make our jobs infinitely easier here as broadcasters because imagine the headline Delta Bombers bottle it.
Yes. That's it. Mukwai is a shin.
Anyway, the semi-finals are set. Two-time winners Mamelodi Sundowns took top spot in Group A yesterday and will face Zesco Ndola Girls from Zambia in the second semi-final on Friday, while Group B winners Gaborone United Ladies Football Club from Botswana face the top team in Group C, that's Costa do Sol from Mozambique. Let's give you a local sports news roundup with Chris before we take a look at the Ryder Cup.
I listen to my radio. CFM Stereo. The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Start off with some cricket news. Kalees Ndlovu of the Zimbabwe women's cricket team has been suspended from bowling in international cricket with immediate effect after an independent assessment confirmed that the left arm spinner uses an illegal bowling action. The 19-year-old was reported by match officials during the first ODI against Ireland in Belfast on the 26th of July, and she underwent the assessment in Pretoria, South Africa. In accordance with Article 6.1 of the bowling regulations, Ndlovu's suspension shall remain in place until she submits to a reassessment of her bowling action, which confirms that she can bowl without using an illegal bowling action. In netball news, the Zimbabwe senior netball team, the Gems, will take to court tomorrow. To the court tomorrow at Queen Elizabeth High School in Harare as they begin a four-day international friendly series against Kenya. These matches are far more than simple warm-ups. They form a crucial part of Zimbabwe's preparation for two major competitions later this year. That's the Celtic Cup in Scotland and the African Netball Championships in Malawi, which also serve as qualifiers for the 2027 Netball World Cup. Let's finish off with news out of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. Cape United midfielder Brighton Manire is set to undergo surgery this week for a head injury he suffered in a Castle Lager Premier Soccer League match against FC Platinum at Mandava last Saturday, amid genuine fears that he could be out for the rest of the season. The club said the towering midfielder faces a 50-50 chance of returning to competitive football, as he would have needed between 6 to 8 weeks to fully recover. Not a blow that Caps United needs right now.
Stand a chance to win one of six tickets and an all-expenses-paid VIP experience to Travis Scott's Castle Light Unlocks concert in South Africa. Buy any two Castle Light 500 milliliter cans, 340 milliliter or 660 milliliter bottles, and check under the can's ring pulls or bottle crowns for the unique code. Dial *445# or send hi to WhatsApp number 078-555-2324 to enter the codes and earn yourself an entry into the promotion. The promotion ends on the 26th of September 2025. Terms and conditions apply. Castle Light. Unlock. Refresh. Enjoy.
We're turning up the beat.
I just need
your hit music station.
Let's go!
I'm no good at goodbyes.
So far, this is with you. Cause you ain't my boyfriend.
Duh. Beautiful big boy. Top designer clothes. How do you sleep when you lie to me?
Dance. Your home for hit music. It's the
from the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
Let's talk some golf, guys. The U.S. captain Keegan Bradley decided not to name himself in the American Ryder Cup team, as many analysts had tipped him to become the first playing captain since Arnold Palmer in 1963. There was always a good chance the 39-year-old would find himself in this deeply uncomfortable situation. He narrowly missed selection for the last Ryder Cup, and by common consent, he is currently one of the top dozen American golfers. Let's hear from Keegan Bradley, who says not picking himself was a difficult decision.
So I was, the decision was made a while ago that I wasn't playing. The last 48 hours we had the team set. We weren't scrambling at all. This was a really tough decision. I would say there was a point this year where I was playing a while ago, and you know, all these guys stepped up in a major way and played their way onto this team. And that's something that I'm really proud of and something that I really wanted. But it was an extremely difficult decision, and you know, but one that I'm really happy with. I'm really happy with these six players, and I'm glad it's over.
See.
The voice there of Keegan Bradley. He hasn't picked himself. We reported a couple of days ago that he was agonizing over the decision, Mike, and he's made the decision. He hasn't picked himself, and he's made a decent case. Why?
Well, listen, I think I can understand why it would have been a difficult decision, because he's actually shown some decent form lately. He's won twice over the last year. I think the BMW Championship and the Travelers Championship in June. And so he's showing some decent form. The Ryder Cup for me, just in terms of what we're taking a look at, you and I were talking about Keegan Bradley earlier. Just I was surprised that he's the US captain.
Yeah, exactly.
he's a decent player, but we've always associated stature with that role.
With that role.
Keegan Bradley, for me, doesn't quite have the stature. And then you take a look at some of the names that are in there. Yeah, great names, and I guess they deserve to be there. But the very fact that, you know what, they're not sort of like including some of the heavy hitters that we've come to know and love, and understandably so, because they're not in great form. DJ's not in great form. Tiger, it looks like he should be retiring.
Put to pasture,
etc. But we know what they have brought, because those guys have got the X factor.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, when he's playing golf, even when people know he's not going to win, the combined viewership on Tiger is more than the entire golf course combined.
Just the
gallery that falls Tiger Woods around. I think, when was it the last time when he had a proper swing and he won a tournament? What was that? About 5 years ago when he made. And they estimated there were 70,000 people that were following Tiger Woods.
Alone. Yes.
On the course. Now, 70,000 is more than the National Sports Stadium.
Yes.
On a golf course. Yes.
Walking.
Yeah.
Walking.
Yeah. Just to watch this man hit a little ball. So that's the star quality. And therefore I can understand why this year's Ryder Cup is just sort of like crept up on us.
Yeah.
It's been a bit low-key, no vibe, and to be honest, I think I'll wait for the singles matchups.
Yes.
On Sunday. Yeah. That's when I'll give it a watch.
I agree with you, and golf fans, come on, watch it. But nonetheless, Chris, what does the Ryder Cup team look like?
So, automatic picks would be Scottie Scheffler, JJ Spawn, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley, Harris English and Bryson DeChambeau, while Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa, numbers 8 and 9 in the standings, also shoo-ins. So the names that feature include Ben Griffin, who's a two-time winner on the PGA Tour this season, recent first-time winner Cameron Young, and two-time Ryder Cup Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns as well, who has been described as the best putter in the world. Mm. So that's what that Ryder Cup team looks like at the moment.
Yeah, it's still a strong team, but as Mike is saying, there's no sort of star power, star dust there. Now, Europe's captain Luke Donald will announce his 6 captain's picks for the Ryder Cup on Monday, and the 45th staging of the biennial contest being held from the 26th to the 28th of September at Bethpage Black in New York. Let's take you around the world in 60.
Hi, my name's Ryan Kins, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We start in New Zealand, where Caleb Clark, who is preparing for his international return, believes he was unfortunate to suffer the injury that prevented him starting for the All Blacks against France last month, because he was suffering from a lack of confidence after a dangerous driving charge. In India, spinner Ravichandran Ashwin ended his IPL career, but hinted that he may be able to play other competitions of franchise cricket. In news from Mexico, Sergio Perez believes he decided to return to Formula One with the new Cadillac team for the 2026 in order to enjoy the sport again after the bruising experience of his final year at Red Bull. And in the United States, where we touched down, Iga Swiatek and Jannik Sinner showed their championship pedigree at the US Open with commanding displays at the Arthur Ashe Stadium, walloping their first round opponents on the third day of first round action at the newly expanded major.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0772-168-045. Let's go through the messages that have been coming through. Good evening, sports team. We used to have a team called New Orleans from Bulawayo for women's soccer. I know that team.
I know that team.
And it used to produce so many players for national team. Ever since that team vanished, women's soccer has never been the same. That is Johnny out in Blues. Yeah, whatever happened to New Orleans?
I don't know what happened to New Orleans. There used to be a talent factory.
Black Rhinos used to be a talent
Black
factory.
Black Rhinos was another one.
Yeah, at least they're still there.
Yeah.
But not quite producing.
But New Orleans used to be, it was almost the only show in town. It was like the only team.
Hi, guys. Great show. Keep it up, guys. And Imi, you guys, you haven't lost a touch since the early days. Muripa Sport FM. And Mike Ajitaura, the Biltong story. Oh, that's the...
what is the Biltong story?
The gorilla. The baboon.
It's not that bad. The baboon.
Baboon.
Oh, your mate.
Matthew Bezaidnot. Used to bring biltong, very nice biltong, tasty biltong. Until one day we cared to ask to listen.
And he's what animal is
it? It's baboon. As we shoot them every day, on the farm.
Did you continue to eat the biltong?
Yes.
That's the part of the story you left out.
We did. It was very tasty. Very, very tasty.
Good question, Chris.
Good evening, sports team. As now you were buried a mic and the beautiful lady Chris means, please help me to understand, what do they mean when they say illegal bowling action? Asimskana uyu, the left spinner, kasi aita bora rekupotsera here, zvaita kuti asuspendwe. Please help me to understand. Thank you. This is Mujay in Harare. Yes.
Okay. Question. So, it's the angle of your arm. There's a degree of latency that's allowed. So the angle has to be within the allowable degrees. Now, if you go beyond that, and then also your elbow is key. When you go beyond that, you're then considered to be chucking. We talk about kanda dombo. So sometimes it's not as if muni ask gona ubola. Sometimes it's just a mistake, and because it's they're fine margins, and that's why they have to go to a proper review and then see it. But it's just the angles of the arm as it comes over in bowling. I don't know if I described that correctly.
Yeah, hi ZFM, and the New Orleans is now in Division One in Southern Region and are bottom of the Logomo Division 1 match.
Relegation
candidates.
That's sad, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really sad. Our main problem is that we think shortcuts are the best way to do things. We're not taking sport as a business, hence we see development and investing in it as rubbish. We need to shift our mindset. This is a Vengai Tadzimirwa, a lion's den.
Okay, lion's den. Nice burgers.
I'll buy saucy soup.
Nice burgers at saucy soup.
I still haven't had one.
Every time we've gone out,
I haven't been
in
able
the country.
To go
yeah.
every time.
No, oh, brilliant. And they've got the biltong, and they've got those.
I've seen the biltong in shops now.
Netuma.
Still so
sausage. Carbonasi, whatever they call it, whatever. Okay, the sausage, the dry. Yeah,
the beer sticks.
The beer sticks. Yes, phenomenal.
They do
a mean job. They are very good.
So Lion's Den is a favorite place on earth for us.
That's it. You know that song by Thomas Mafumo Kariba? Did he mention Lion's Den? No, he didn't.
He didn't.
Because he mentioned Donanga Mapping. He didn't mention Bankit either. I didn't think he wanted the English names.
Yeah.
He didn't quite go with the song.
Possibly.
Exactly.
He wanted the African names.
The African names, yes. Makuti. Yeah, that's it. He met some damsel in Kariba that he was singing after.
You
mentioned Lion's Den, guys. Yes.
He did.
He didn't mention saucy soup.
I know, we have to listen to the song.
Yeah, I think that's what. Judging by the profile picture of our dear beloved listener, he speaks authoritatively.
It could be his father.
No, it can't be. No, he's not that old. Yes, there we go. Chipo says Thomas Mavua mentioned Lion's Den. Yeah, that's it. So it's
a good place to honor.
Yes, Thomas Mavua mentioned Lion's Den.
You guys are really listening. listening.
Listen, Ukanzonzi Vamlauzi. No. He knows.
Yeah, Vamlauzi. Yeah, guys, what happened to Axel Jeffries? Yeah.
What did happen to Axel Jeffries? We interviewed him on the hill.
I don't know.
And then he fell away.
We did an interview.
Yeah.
With Axel Jeffries. Yeah, he had so much potential.
So much.
But breaking into Formula One is not easy.
It's not easy.
And it's very expensive.
Extremely.
Yeah. You either need
to be... There are 20 seats. There are 20 places.
You need to be either very wealthy or you need to be very talented.
Like if you're a billionaire, it's all right.
Yes. That's it.
Even if you're a millionaire sometimes, your money's not enough to get you.
Yeah, I think I'll recommend that Ayrton Senna documentary.
Yes.
Docudrama on Netflix for anyone to watch. That one really paints a picture of what it takes if you're not from a wealthy background.
Yes.
To make it in Formula One. Even with the talent, I still consider Ayrton Senna, for me, the GOAT.
The most talented driver to ever do it.
Yeah, the most talented driver to ever do it. Even with his talent, there were still so many obstacles he had to overcome to become a Formula One driver.
CFM Stereo is untouchable.
The beating drum. The roaring fans. Take a ride on the wild side with the Africa Report on CFM Sport.
Let's get into the beautiful game. But Mo in Belfast, he says, and our best burgers are at Froggy Farm, Juliusdale. And fact,
Froggy Farm, is that where people hold that snake? There's a snake that people pose with. It should be a Froggy Farm.
Nyanga?
I think so.
A snake.
There's a snake park. No, not snake park. There's a place where people go and pose the snake.
In Nyanga?
Yes.
Chris.
I'm telling you. I'll dig it up.
Well, hey, Mo. You better tell us, because if you know Julia's there. Yeah, I've never heard about snakes in Nyanga, Chris.
Yeah. Is it not Nyanga?
No. Where's the snake? What sort of snake?
Chris. It's like a python.
No, man. Isn't that... what's that place where my son was attacked by the ducks?
Your son was attacked by the ducks?
Yes, I know the place you're talking about.
Yes, I remember. What was that?
Yes, he wandered off by himself, and then they've got some water place, and then there were some ducks, and he thought they were all tame, and decided to take one of the little ones.
And the moms came after him.
Ah, they came after him because he was... and they came after him. What's the place? On your way to Shamba. That's the place you were talking about.
Oh, it could be.
What's the place, man?
Someone tell us.
They've got a tiger there now.
They've got a Bengal tiger.
Yes, they got a tiger. My daughter went there a month ago, and they got a tiger.
Yes,
a proper tiger. Even I was shocked.
They twisted her ankle, and then I had to go out and rescue.
Bally Vaughan,
that's the one.
Yes.
Oh, Bally Vaughan.
No, Bally Vaughan, that's where they got the python.
Is it? The one where people go and pose with that.
That's
python.
It.
That python looks tired.
I've even got.
Sad enough.
Sad enough.
It's like, not again.
No, I actually went to Bally Vaughan and I've got pictures with the python.
Yeah. You held the python?
Yes.
Is that the albino one?
No.
No, it's not.
No.
Where's the albino one?
That's the one I'm talking about. It's yellow and white. Yes, it's yellow and white.
I don't know.
Someone tell us. There's a place with a snake.
Yeah, but burgers.
We'll have to try Froggy Farm, right?
Frog Farm.
The best burger is Rippers in Kwekwe.
Ah, come on, guys. We can't go countrywide.
No.
We're going to go on a burger hunt. We need a sponsor for a burger
hunt. What is the name of the Formula One documentary? Gave me somebody. Just look for Ayrton Senna. Ayrton Senna.
It's called Senna.
Senna. S-E-N-N-A.
Not
divine Senna. Anyway, which one has got the albino farm? And Musinje.
Musinje. That's the one.
That's the albino.
Yes. Okay. That's the one that's tired of you people.
And then someone said Antelope Park has also got a yellowish python.
sorry. And it's Msinje.
Yeah, Msinje. Right, let's get into the football, guys. Morocco reached the final of CHAN after overcoming holders Senegal 5-3 on penalties following a tense 1-1 draw after extra time at the Nelson Mandela National Stadium in Kampala last night. The Atlas Lions, winners in 2018 and 2020, will now face Madagascar in Saturday's final in Nairobi after the island nation beat Sudan earlier in the day. And I go to the penalty shootout, Barry. Fantastic penalties. There was no way that Senegal was going to get back into the contest.
No chance.
After they had sent their first one crashing onto the woodwork. It would have been a good penalty.
It would have been a good penalty.
But the way these penalties were taken, even the ones that Senegal took after that, no way a goalkeeper or even two goalkeepers were going to save those penalties.
I suspect the conversation we had on the show yesterday was being had in the respective dressing rooms and training centres. Why? Because I think they both realised that they're at pretty much the same level. It was always going to be an arm wrestle, and there was a good chance that they would go all the way to penalties. So I think they trained those penalties quite elaborately, because you could see that they were unerring, especially the Moroccans. Senegal unlucky to hit the woodwork, but in truth there's no ignominy in either one of these. In fact, Senegal crashing out.
Well, the Atlas Lions triumphed 5-3, booking their third CHAN final appearance in 6 years and ending Senegal's dream of back-to-back titles. What I want to talk about here, Chris, is the two examples that Senegal and Morocco set as the two most dominant forces at this tournament, because it's quite different. We usually talk of money, we talk of the investment that's gone into Moroccan football, and we understand where they are, the big names that come out of Morocco: Wydad, Raja Casablanca, Far Rabat, teams like that. Not so much with Senegal.
No.
So Senegal, an example that you can still be successful.
Yeah.
You can produce great players in your local league without necessarily lots of money being poured in.
Yeah.
Without necessarily the order, the structure, and the resources of Morocco.
Yeah. And it's, I think Senegal is a very good case of no excuses.
Yeah.
What you need is strategy. What you need is direction and a plan that is an action. And that's what we see with Senegal. Unfortunately, I think we always take the approach that, oh, it's going to cost a lot of money. We can't really do it here. We don't really have the structures. And therefore, Achshem, let's keep it moving. And we'll just do the best that we can. But I think intentionality is a lot of what we see behind Senegal's success. And we're going to continue to see, I think, that coming out of that local league. And they're a really good, I think, case study for possible replication.
Yeah, possible replication. I think lessons to be learned by Zimbabwe there with Senegal.
All the rivalry.
Goal for Liverpool early on Derby Day.
All the stars.
There goes Haaland. He's on his way again. He's hungry. He's scored. He always does. He always will. Nothing more certain.
And all the game-changing moments.
We find a way through. You bet he can. That is top, top class.
All the updates from the Premier League on ZFM Sport.
Right, let's go to England, and Chelsea are evaluating the possibility of a move for Barcelona midfielder Fermin Lopez, but there is not currently club-to-club contact. The Premier League side are in touch with the players' camp as they explore attacking options in case of exits, given Barca's depth in that position. He's got a contract that runs until 2029, so Barcelona hold all the aces as far as this move is concerned. And we know that Laporta is a wily old fox when it comes to, you know, haggling and dealing.
He certainly is, and you can tell by the long-term contract that he's been on up to 2029.
He... mate,
he puts a buyout clause of 2 trillion and numbers like that. So I think that it's going to be a deal that needs to be negotiated adeptly. Also, Chelsea themselves, they're no mugs. The business that they've been able to do is impressive. So it's
going to be an interesting one to watch how this one progresses.
Now, Chelsea have added six players to Maresca's first team squad this season with Dario Sugo from Sporting Club do Portugal, the only midfield arrival, with midfielder Keenan Dewsbury Hall, Chaku Emeka, and Ugo Chukwu among those to have left Stamford Bridge on a permanent deal. So they certainly need to beef up as far as that is concerned. Elsewhere, Premier League giants Manchester City have been working to sign Gianluigi Donnarumma for weeks and are now confident about sealing a move this transfer window. And it's all predicated, many have reported, Chris, on, of course, Edison leaving and signing for possibly Galatasaray, who are interested in his services out in Turkey. That will free up a lot of wage space because we know Edison, one of the best paid goalkeepers in the English Premier League, and Donnarumma will come in commanding a similar pay packet.
Definitely. So the plan is for him to come in on a free. Well, the plan was for him to come in on a free. Unfortunately, that didn't necessarily happen, but look, they're coming closer to signing him. And once they are able to offer him, apparently, pay packet of about 16 million and bonuses, that'll take the amount even higher. So I think they're about to make an offer around 30 million, allegedly. Yep. So plus bonuses in order for them to sign him. So I think with that wage bill, like you're saying, freed up and the move for Edison, I think they're going to have room enough to be able to get this deal over.
And now, is this one of those where Man City are perhaps in the box seat in negotiations with PSG, Barry, as far as the negotiations are concerned? Because big, influential sort of character, Gianluigi Donnarumma, you know, you don't want that sort of player in and around your dressing room if you're not going to be using him.
No.
And so you're best advised to sell him.
Yeah.
And even if it means that you lose out on potentially a good bit of business, you just have to get rid of such a player.
Yeah.
You don't want him in training. And at the same time,
grumpy.
You don't want to be ostracized because he's done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing wrong.
Yeah, so you can't say go train with the academy.
Yeah.
He's a European champion.
He's a European champion. He's got you to a Club World Cup final. He served the club unerringly. It is just the case that manager Luis Enrique has decided that he wants to move on. And in truth, having a grumpy character like that, he's a big character, he's a big man, he fills a room. You don't want to have that.
I never understood this one. Sorry for me.
I can't get it.
I don't get it, because there were games in which he single-handedly
stood between PSG and defeat.
And for him to be rewarded in this nature, it just, for me, I don't know. Maybe personality clash.
I think personality clash, because nothing, it's not a performance thing, definitely.
No? Yeah,
nothing accounts for it from a performance perspective, so it's got to be a personality sort of clash.
And you know, Luis Enrique, you've seen everywhere he's coached. Mm-hmm. He's it's my way or the highway.
Right. Let's talk about Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, who are weighing up a move for Manchester United midfielder Kobbie Mainoo. The 20-year-old is attracting interest after being left out of United's opening two games this season. I tried to have a discussion with the mate of ours, TK.
About United
and Kobbie Mainoo. So I think what I then deduced from our conversation with Tao, and I hope you're listening, Tao, is that it'll be a blow to United fans
to lose
Kobbie Mainoo. Even I would be disappointed, because I like the player. I like the looks of the player. He's got plenty of ability, of ability, Chris. I think he's a player that United should do all they can
to hang on to.
Yeah, under any circumstances.
For sure. The problem is the names that are calling for him. It's Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. And with Manchester United in the place that they are now, I am not sure that he's not going to be, you know, taking a look at the lights across in Spain and saying, maybe I should, you know, jet across and this is my chance. He's 20 years old, so I think United would do good to keep him, especially on a long-term basis. But I think Madrid is a big calling card.
All right, let's wrap it up with a couple more stories here, where former Real Madrid right-back Lucas Vazquez has joined Bayer Leverkusen until 2027. The five-time Champions League winner joins on a free transfer, having been a free agent since his Madrid contract expired in the summer. And Serie A giants AC Milan are now keen on signing Adrian Rabiot, with manager Max Allegri interested in reuniting with the player. Very good player, this guy.
Very.
And I thought he would have actually attracted a bit of interest from the English Premier League because he does have that all-action style that I think would make him a force in the Premier League.
And also,
Has plenty of technical ability as well.
Lots of technical ability. His physical attributes are really, really good as well because he's a tall, rangy fullback, which you don't get much of. Mostly you get Shipopi playing in the fullback position. So I think Adrien Rabiot is a good signing for anyone. I'm not sure why the sort of mid-tier Premier League clubs are not looking across and saying this could be a good signing for him. They're just letting him go. All right, we gotta go. Speaking of going, we're back tomorrow. Don't miss Throwback Thursday. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Randy, out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James at the worst is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's CFM Sport on CFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundell, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z-Team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.